ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
The business of journalism has undergone dramatic changes in recent years. Today, the daily newspaper is more likely to land on the screens of our smartphones than with a thud on the front porch. Those shifting media habits have had a profound effect on the news industry's ability to monetize its product, and the result has been dramatic, with layoffs and downsizing occurring across the country. All forms of journalism have been affected, including sports reporting. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to take a look at the state of sports media in our sports-crazy state. Our guest is Michael Mirror, a visiting assistant professor in UWM's Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies. Welcome, Michael. Good to have you with us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So today, it's not just a matter of getting in front of the typewriter and pounding out a few graphs about last night's game or this afternoon's football contest. Sports reporting has really evolved in the last 15, 20 years as technology has, hasn't it?
Oh, for certain. You know, the job of a sports reporter, they still have to produce, you know, that text after the game. But during the game, they're in constant conversation with their readers through Twitter, through other social media. They're posting, they're writing as they go. You know, it's a big challenge, and they're competing with new formats that they've never had to compete with before. The teams themselves, players, you know, the players' media, social media. So it's a much different environment.
So does that mean that there's a different kind of person going into the job of sports reporting today versus 10, 15 years ago?
I'm not sure that the type of person has really changed. I think, you know, people who grow up loving sports tend to find their way into sports media. I think they're walking in, though, with a new sense of the demands that it's going to take to do that job. I think people who have been in it for a long time are finding it less fun. You know, what they liked was sitting down and watching a game and mulling it over in their head and producing the perfect game story. I think people who've had a harder time making the transition are those who don't like that constant contact, the constant discussion, who want to report, who want to have that sort of professional authority without having to sort of do this back and forth. I think those are the people who have seen their way out of the business in recent years, whereas those who've been able to adapt, who like that conversation, have really thrived.
And it really is a conversation because you know, I just marvel as I read Journal Sentinel has some incredibly talented beat reporters, for example, covering the Bucks and the Brewers and the Packers. And there's not a game that goes by where you can't watch the game essentially through the screen of the reporters covering it and literally providing play-by-play. It is almost as if they could replace the radio broadcasters who are providing the more traditional play-by-play.
Absolutely. And you've seen teams sort of worry about that. They, you know, and especially in college sports, they really focus on trying to limit what sports reporters can do on social media during games to what they want to protect their broadcasts. And so there's been especially some interest around NCAA sports where they've really tried to prevent sports writers from tweeting, from live tweeting, from live blogging during games. So that's been an interesting sideline into how this is all changing.
Have they been effective at that?
They have been effective at instituting rules. You know, it's funny. In 2007, I was working as a sports writer in Davis, California, and the men's soccer team ended up in an NCAA tournament game, and I wanted to live blog it. So if you go to The Guardian during a big soccer game, you'll see them live blogging what's happening. And so I was going to, you know, reproduce that format for this tournament soccer game. And the NCAA was fine with that. But a few months later, they were kicking people out of press boxes during the baseball championship for live blogging because it was on TV and they wanted to protect the broadcast. So the desire to sort of create regulations and control that has become a sort of a challenge for for sports writers and their interactions with teams.
There always has been an inherent tension, though, between an independent sports writer and the local team because, you know, the tendency on the part of the team owners is to have a homie, have someone who's going to be true blue and writing the story from the standpoint of a real fan. But that's not really a sports reporter's job, is it?
Well, it depends on the sports reporter at this point. I think sports reporters have always sort of viewed themselves as in this sort of strange netherworld, right? They are, you know, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's political reporters are writing for an audience of Democrats and Republicans. Their sports writers are writing for a highly partisan audience, right? There's not that many, well, maybe there are more Timberwolves fans or Bears fans that people would like in Milwaukee, but, you know, they're mostly Packer fans here. That's their audience.
Yeah, so, one Bear fan here is too many, actually.
Well, I'm a Detroit Lions fan, so it's you guys can all just fight it.
But that's an aside.
So you guys can all fight it out amongst yourselves. We'll just sit there in fourth place, and it'll be fine.
But you're right. I mean, the fact that you've got an audience that is frankly hoping for a more of a Homer approach mm-hmm. Sets sports reporting apart from much of the other kind of coverage that you see online.
Right. There are limits. And of course, there are limits to that, right? When I'm a fan and if I see my team play poorly, having the independent writer come and tell me, no, everything was actually okay, well, that's not going to make sense to me either, right? No, every fan is watching with close attention. They're not really there to be spun, right? Because they have their own feelings. They have their own ideas about how the game went and how the team is doing. And so for sports writers, the challenge has always been sort of maintaining access, maintaining good relationships with the people you cover, while also writing in a way that your audience is going to find reasonable, you know, that if somebody writes, hey, aren't the Detroit Lions great? I'm going to know that's garbage. The Detroit Lions are never great. I'll never trust that. And that's true whether you're writing for the Detroit Free Press or if you're writing for DetroitLions.com as writers move into that that part of the business, as teams start to become media producers themselves.
And yet the teams have tremendous control over the access that they provide the sports reporter to the players and to the coaches. So do sports reporters think or care much about what management is saying of their stories?
I mean, I think they care because those are the people they interact with on a daily basis. I think the access question is a really interesting one. Back during baseball season, there was a run-in between the Houston Astros and Justin Verlander, who used to pitch for the Detroit Tigers, and the Detroit Free Press over who gets access to the locker room. Now, in pro sports, there are rules about who can be where and when, and the Astros basically violated those rules at the behest of their pitcher, their star pitcher, to make that work. In general, teams are good at skirting the access rules, but in pro sports, access is the rules are pretty clear. What's interesting, I think, is how things are changing in colleges, as college sports teams feel like they don't need the independent press as much. The Badgers out in Madison, they have a pretty strong fan base. They have their own media channels. They have ways of reaching their fans. The value of granting access to the state journal out there, the Journal Sentinel, that the calculation changes. I think it's different for us here at UWM. We don't get the same type of coverage for our teams. But again, the value of external media coverage, how you court media, your need for media, these are all that calculus is changing.
How about the relationship between the sports reporter and the player and the coach? How has that evolved, given the fact that we're in a new digital age and coverage is 24/7? Mm-hmm. Is a reporter going about the business of covering those stars the same way that they did in the more traditional formatted media?
So I think what's changing is that the stars don't need the reporters as much. In the old days, the analog days, the media company was really the central point between the sports team or the athlete and the public. If you wanted to reach people with a message, you needed to you know, either pay a lot of money to buy an advertisement or you need to get a journalist interested in what you were trying to say. That's not the case anymore. There's a great story that I assign in my sports media research class here about the relationship between the Oklahoma City Thunder and their local media. That basically their fans, you know, their stars back when they had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, you know, their stars had larger Twitter followings than the local newspaper had subscribers. They felt like they didn't need the local newspaper as much to get their story out. The stars didn't need it to talk to their public, to their fans, and nor did the team in that sense. They could reach them through their Twitter feed and through their social media coordinates at their website. So the role of the press in terms of what the sources need out of reporters, that's changed. And I think that fundamental shift is a real challenge for sports writers to understand what's their role in this new media system. If they no longer sort of guard access to the public the way that they used to be able to because the technology was so sort of determined that relationship, what is the role of the independent sports reporter? And that's something that we're still negotiating. It's very hard to kind of figure out where that's going.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujak, and joining us in the studio is Michael Mirror. Michael is a visiting assistant professor of journalism, advertising, and media studies at UWM's College of Letters and Science. And our topic today is sports media, sports reporting. How have the changes in technology and the changes in viewers' habits and user habits affected the way in which sports reporters go about doing their job. Michael, we were talking just a moment ago about the tremendous power that players have to control their image by virtue of using Twitter and other social media platforms is really important. And as you point out, for some fans, that might be enough. They're getting it right from the player's mouth. So who needs a middle guy in between, right? But there's another important role that a sports journalist plays beyond covering the X's and the O's and the wins and the losses, and that is the tremendous amount of public money that goes into supporting these franchises that are so lucrative, so valuable, so sought after by cities around the country. That's a job that probably is best left to an independent journalist, right?
I would think so. I think the Milwaukee Bucks website is going to have a very specific view on the value of the Milwaukee Bucks to the city of Milwaukee. This is, I think, one of those questions that really gets down to what sports journalists are going to be going forward. I think sports reporting that focuses on the game, that focuses on the team, that focuses on the X's and O's, that stuff that can be done by the team as well. And we see this as teams invest in their own media. They are challenging sports reporters on that.
Game tracker. You could watch most any game and just literally see the X's and the O's
right.
move in front of you, unfold in a diagram.
Right, for sure. We also need to understand that the reason why it's important that our newspapers, that our independent media focus on sports is because the entire enterprise is shaped by the political forces that we deal with every day, right? When you go to a Bucks game this fall, you're going to be in a building that was paid for by public money. You're going to be in a downtown development that is supposed to reshape our whole city's identity. You're going to be watching players who were trained at public universities primarily, or in our case with Giannis, right? Immigration policy, right? High-skilled immigrant labor coming in and, you know, enriching our city in some ways. So I think when we think about it in those terms, there's no separating sports as an institution from all the political forces that shape it. And it's important that independent sports media are there sort of drawing those connections, pointing out when things work and don't work. We live in a world where football has become a controversial topic, yet our entire educational system is not us, UW Milwaukee, but you know, our high schools and our the other big state university here is very much focused on football. They're embedded in this world, this business fundamentally that is increasingly problematic, as we might say in the classroom.
Before anybody was talking about concussions the way that we do today.
Right. you know, that there's nothing sort of more fun than a college football Saturday, yet do we want our public institutions embedded in this industry that may be, rather than developing people's minds, maybe damaging them? I mean, that's a question that universities are going to increasingly be asking themselves. Their media are not in the position maybe to ask those questions, but the independent press certainly is, and that's a discussion that is community focused. It's not team focused, and so we have independent sports journalists at our news organizations to think of sports in that way, and it's important that they continue to do that. And I think that's the value of sports journalism going forward. That you can start as a sports fan, but you have to be a journalism fan if you want to do it, because that's the value that you're going to have in this media marketplace.
And as we think about the ways in which the role of a sports journalist is increasingly critical for us to understand the value of those public investments in a place like the Fiserv Forum or Miller Park, soon to be American Family Park, or whatever it's going to ultimately be called. I mean, those are economic issues. And so the training for a sports journalist today perhaps needs to also reflect the broader portfolio of thought that they're going to be pursuing.
Right. I think just wanting to talk about who wins and who loses is not enough. I don't think it's really ever been enough. I think in my old world, you know, I covered a university athletic department as it was moving up from Division II to Division I. So that forced me to major in NCAA politics and regulations. That's part of what, you know, new sports reporters need to be able to plug into other issues. Like, fundamentally, I don't think you can be a sports reporter if you don't have a training in, if you don't have an understanding of basic economics. You have an understanding of race and how race operates in our society, because it's so important. I think just wanting to do X's and O's for basketball, that's fine. You know, that there's a place for that in the media system, but it's not in sort of what sports journalism is going to have to be going forward.
So has today's student of journalism changed? Are you seeing a different kind of student showing up in your class today, knowing that the job is in some ways bigger and more complex than it once was?
I think students who are interested in sports media are eager to think about these topics. You know, maybe it's being at a big urban research university, and you have people who have been exposed to these ideas. And when they come into my class, you know, my class is a research class. It's not a practical how to do a game story. It's here's the role of sports media and the way that structures our engagement with this social institution. They're interested in the ways to apply those ideas to sports. And so I do think that students who are interested in sports media are coming in with some of those ideas. I also think that I don't know everything about these ideas. I can't say that their experiences are different than my, you know, that are the same as mine. So I think they're bringing some really interesting ideas to these questions too. That I've enjoyed my sports media research classes because the students have come in with some really interesting thoughts.
I was a former journalist earlier part of my career, and I remember I broke my dad's heart when I told him I was going to be a reporter, and he said, "Oh, that's good. What team are you going to cover?" And he was a big sports fan, and I said, "Well, Dad, I'm not going to be covering sports. I'm going to be covering, I think, politics interests me and economics." And he just had this crestfallen look on his face saying, "Where did I go wrong? Didn't I take this guy to enough games?" I think back, and today, if I were making that decision, and we saw the landscape as it is today, he would realize, boy, you know, you could go into sports and cover politics and cover economics and business angles that really weren't at the top of the agenda years ago.
Yeah, I mean, my first job was in a little town called Hobbs, New Mexico. I was hired, you know, out of college, and I show up in this little town, and the first thing you realize is just how sports is this octopus. Its tentacles are in everything. So if you have other interests, you're going to be able to follow those through sports. There's a way in which those tend to touch the sports industry and the sports apparatus wherever you are.
Earlier, you were talking about how the way in which information is getting out into the public has changed so dramatically. Last year, in 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision that lifted the federal ban on sports betting. I understand from some of your research that that may have an impact on the way in which people receive information or the value of the information, knowing that you, in I think a dozen states now, can legally bet on games.
Right. And we're not one of them. I think sports gambling is going to be a longer push here in Wisconsin if people are interested in doing that. Although Illinois, not too far south from here, is really, I think, going full speed ahead on that. Yeah, I think gambling is a really interesting question. I think there are a lot of dimensions to it for sports media. I think, first of all, anything that increases the demand for sports information is going to be good for sports journalists in some way, because more people are going to want to read it and click it. The concern, of course, is that the information that is going to be most valuable to people who are interested from a gambling perspective is the information that takes us further away from this sort of public service mission that I think is really the future of sports journalism. Really, the financing behind Fiserv Forum doesn't matter if what you really want to know is Chris Middleton going to play tonight, right? The financing, who really cares about that, right? Yeah. The real money is, you know, taking the under on the Bucks game because their best shooter's out. So I think that's a question, you know, that's a question for where sports journalism goes.
So the question is, where does that information come from, right? And
right.
Who controls it?
Right. So the team tends to control that information. And again, in pro sports, there's a very clear dynamic of how that information is supposed to get out. There are rules. You know, gambling's been illegal, so they've not been – they don't openly discuss it. But in fact, these rules are so that there's not a lot of secret information. At the college level, I think that's a really big concern. Colleges don't operate according to those same rules about when they have to release injury information. When you create inside information, you create a market for that inside information, and that's going to be a question for college athletics. You're not paying players, but now you have a whole – they're now – players have access to a lot of information that can make people money. That's going to be a thing that college programs are really going to have to explore, and that's college programs at – the entire Division I level, including ours here at UWM. You know, there are people who bet the Horizon League, I'm sure. So knowing what happens in the Horizon League matters, so that if a coach is not being open about an injury, but the last guy on the bench knows about it, the last guy on the bench can do something with that piece of information, and that creates serious problems. So I'm hoping that people are thinking about that over in the athletic department.
So does that mean that you might someday see in the near future sports investigative reporters who aren't looking at the finances or looking at the political connections, but are doing deep sleuthing to see whose left leg tendon is acting up, and well, that might affect the spread on tonight's game?
I mean, that's always been part of sports. Like there's $150 billion being wagered illegally, probably. So we know that's always been part of the story. I think as sports gambling becomes legal, it's pretty vital for college programs especially to really focus on the ways information's getting out there, making sure that injuries are more of an open discussion point, because that is the sort of stuff that can move lines and move point spreads, and that you know, in the 80s, we dealt with there were some major point shaving scandals. You know, in the 1950s, college basketball nearly died in its crib because of gambling issues. So this is going to affect the integrity of sporting events. Now, it being legal might mean that it's all out in the open and people can see it. So there might be a benefit to the legalization on that front, but I do think that as you create a greater market for legal sports gambling, you create a greater market for information. So teams and college athletic departments are going to need to be cognizant of that and build policies around that.
So is that maybe a good thing for sports journalists, knowing that there may be a way in which they can monetize their investigative or their reporting skills and sell that information?
Well, I think that's important. I think that'll be good for newspapers. But again, there's also some ethical questions there, right? somewhere some of us think that, oh, you know, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel were to partner with a sports book for legal sports betting, and you could then have links within stories, might be a great way to pay for journalism. On the other hand, if we put what, you know, do we want our local newspapers to be invested in something that, let's face it, has a downside, right? I mean, I like the thought process that I don't gamble on sports. I've been in enough locker rooms to know that it's, you know, I don't really want to put my money on those guys. Like, they're great guys, but not really. I wouldn't trust them with the mortgage necessarily. But I would say that we need to understand that we don't really do we really want our local news agencies, you know, in working with gambling. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel relies on has started to rely on gambling as a stream of income. It hasn't done that now, but were it to, we know there are downsides to gambling in communities, and so that's a concern.
And then, of course, you've got the teams who also will perhaps be considering how they market or sell or make available that information, and can they make a buck off of it?
Well, they're certainly going to make money off of it. I think there's been stories about how the, you know, in Illinois where this is going to move ahead quickly. You know, the Cubs are talking about creating betting windows at Wrigley Field where you can bet the game, which there, you know, there's precedent for that. If you go to England, you can bet in the stadium at soccer games. So that's part of where, you know, that's all legal there. And so I think that's going to really change the experience. And I think it's going to change it in ways that, you know, we don't always like.
It sounds like the future for your students who wish to become sports journalists, sports reporters, is not set. It's exciting, but who knows what they're going to be doing in 10 or 15 years.
All right. That's why we teach them to be – that's really why we focus on teaching them how to understand what media does, because as demands change, as laws change, as technology changes – knowing what media does is what's going to be important for them. It's what's going to help them find a new job in this new system. It's not about, you know, we can teach them how to write leads and how to do the mechanics of it, and that's important. But the jobs that they're going to be asked to do in 15 years, we don't necessarily know what that's going to look like. And that's the same in sports writing.
Well, Michael, we wish you the best as you teach that next generation of sports journalists. And we'll see whether or not sports gambling makes it to Wisconsin. Legal sports gambling makes it to Wisconsin. We know there's a lot of money on the Sunday Packer games and when the Brewers and Bucks are out on the field or the court. So who knows where it goes, but we know that sports journalists somewhere will be covering the action. Thanks very much.
Indeed.
Michael Muir, Visiting Assistant Professor of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.